Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 15. The book of Matthew, chapter 15. We've been studying through this book together, and we've come to our next portion of Scripture. Matthew, chapter 15. We'll begin our reading in verse number 29. Matthew 15, verse 29. The Word of God says, "And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. His disciples say unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Jesus saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? They said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks, and brake them and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala." If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark 2 words in verse number 32. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue, here it is, these 2 words, with me. With me. And this morning I preach to you on this subject, with Jesus. With Jesus. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how you've given it to us. Thank you, Lord, for the authority of it. And I pray as we preach that you help us to do justice with your word. Help us not to add to it or take away from it, but will you help us to be faithful to you? Somebody's here that does not know you as Savior. I pray that today will be the glorious day where they trust you. And we who are saved, help us to grow in our Christian lives. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this chapter of Matthew, we have already seen the Lord deal with unbelievers who are putting more emphasis on their own traditions than the Word of God. We have seen him deal with a Gentile woman. All in this chapter, I've already preached on this, you can go back and get it if you want it, who had a daughter with a demon tormenting her, and she took her knee to the Lord and asked for a crumb from the master's table. The unbelievers had no faith, and this Gentile woman had great faith. But today we come to another closing portion of this chapter. And what we have in these closing verses is we see the Lord Jesus has come to the Sea of Galilee and goes up into a mountain and he sits down. And as he's there sitting down, the Word of God says, great multitudes came unto him. And the Lord mentioned in verse number 32 here how these multitudes continued with him. Now it's this thought that the Lord drew my attention to as I was studying these closing verses, the thought of being with Jesus. Now, these multitudes of people came to where Jesus was and stayed with him. And this crowd soon learned that with Jesus, they found all they ever needed. As a matter of fact, I see 3 major things found in these verses. They're found with Jesus, and these 3 things are still found with him today. Now, I want to draw our attention to this thought, with Jesus and what we find with him. Number 1, we see first of all with Jesus there is healing. Now I've already read these portions of Scripture, but in verses 29 to 31, as I just kind of go back over this, if you want to read that, you can. You don't have to, but at least it'll keep you from having to look at me. It might make you sick. Anyway, in these opening verses of this passage, we see the Lord Jesus went up into a mountain and sits down. As he was there, great multitudes came, having with them those who could not walk, those who could not see, they could not talk, some were maimed, and the Bible says many others that were with them. They took these people and placed them at the feet of Jesus. These needy people were now, get it now, they were now with the Lord. They were with Jesus. And while they were there, he healed them. This means he cured them and relieved them of their infirmities. Now in Mark's account, just in case you're keeping notes throughout this series, the parallel passage of this passage is Mark chapter 7, verse 31 through chapter 8, verse number 9. And in Mark's account, there's one particular man mentioned in this group of people brought to him that the Lord Jesus healed. This one was a man who was deaf and had what the Bible calls an impediment in his speech. This means he could not hear and his tongue was tied. That's what it means. The Lord Jesus took this one aside, put his fingers into his ears, and the Bible says the Lord spit and then touched this man's tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Be opened." And immediately this man's ears were opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to talk plainly. Now with these mighty healings, the Bible tells in Mark's account that the multitudes glorified, right here in Matthew's account, the God of Israel. And in Mark's account they said, "He hath done all things well." The point that we're considering under this first point here, that with Jesus there is healing, here's the point. We are seeing how these dear people had needs that was beyond any natural help. They were beyond physical help. They had situations that only the Lord could heal them. They had situations that no doctor could heal. There was no human answer to their situations. But I'm glad to announce that when these people were brought to the feet of Jesus and that they were now found with him, I'm glad that they found healing right there. I'm telling you that right here he was more than able to help them with their condition. Now in all of this we see several applications for our benefit. I want to apply some things under this that first of all with Jesus there is healing. Let me give you some applications. First of all, we see that the Lord Jesus has power over all sickness and he has power over all diseases. See, it didn't matter what their physical ailment was. He was the answer. There's absolutely nothing too hard for our God to do. See, it didn't matter if they were blind or maimed or halt. It didn't matter if they couldn't see or couldn't hear. And many other diseases, the Bible says, every last one of them, God cured them from it. And the Lord healed them from it. And we see through this, it doesn't matter how bad the situation gets. It doesn't matter how beyond human help it is. It could be physical problems, financial problems, marital problems, a wayward child. It doesn't matter how bad it is. Jesus Christ is not a answer. He's the one and only answer. And with Jesus, you find healing in problems. I'm telling you, we learned that from this right here. Secondly, we learn that the Lord healed all those that were brought to his feet. And I'm glad to announce here that our God is no respecter of persons. I'm glad to tell you this morning that he's not partial. I'm glad to tell you that he desires to cure all people. He desires to heal all people. And everybody that made it to his feet, they were cured and they were healed. We learn that he's not a partial God. We learn that he is a powerful God. Thirdly, we learn that we all have a spiritual condition that's far worse than this physical condition that these people had. Every last one of us have a spiritual condition that is beyond human help. It is called sin. There is no human cure for this condition. But with Jesus, there is spiritual healing. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm telling you that just as Jesus was the only help for these people's physical problem, Jesus is the only answer to the sin problem. He's not an answer, he's the answer. Somebody says, wait a minute, all roads lead home. My wife and I were up in Stanton, Virginia Friday night. I was preaching a youth rally up there. My family goes with me as much as they possibly can. And that next morning we were eating breakfast there at the motel, and we were speaking to a lady, and she very, very kind to us and all this, religious lady. But she made this statement. My wife was dealing with her, trying to witness to her some and tell her about our church, whatever the case may be. And she said, you know, she said, all religions, every one of them is going to end up in the same place. All religions are going to end up with God in heaven. Are you listening to me? That's a lie straight from the devil, friends. There is one way to heaven and one way only. And that way is not Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. That way is not the baptistry. That way is not turning over a new leaf. That way is not doing the best you can. That way is the death, burial, and resurrection of the blessed Son of God. I'm telling you that we learn in this story here that as we can feel sorry for these people, wait a minute, they were much better off than we are. We've got a problem that's beyond human help too. It's sin. Is there somebody in a crowd this size that right now, if you died or if Jesus came back, you don't know in your heart if you're saved? I'm telling you, don't come and try to join this church. That's not the answer. Don't give money in the offering plate. That's not the answer. The answer is realizing that you are lost and on your way to hell, and Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. We learned that under this point. With Jesus, there's healing. But a final thing that we learn in this, I'm just applying some of this here. We learn that we ought to be busy bringing those who have needs to the feet of Jesus. See, the Bible tells us in these verses, matter of fact, I'll just read something here. Look at verse number 30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. These needy people were brought to the feet of Jesus. This tells me they needed help to get there. And I'm telling you that these people who were okay physically, they didn't have those problems, they reached out and helped those who did. And may I apply this way? If you're saved today, which a majority of you are, maybe all of you, I hope all of you are, but if you're saved today, you've been cured from the sin problem. You're still sinners saved by God's grace, but at least you're going to heaven some glorious day. But may I tell you that we come in contact with people every day of our lives almost who need spiritual healing. And many of them do not even know where they can find it. And may God burden our hearts to see the sick and maimed and blind and many other diseases. I'm just talking in spiritual terms, sin. May we see sinners who need the Savior. And may we see our responsibility to take these people to the feet of Jesus and show them that with the world there is not healing, with money there's no healing, with success there's no healing, but with Jesus there's always healing. The first major thought we've brought out on this thought with Jesus is that when you find yourself or others who have a need beyond any human help, spiritually or physically, healing is only found with Jesus. That's number one. With Jesus, there is healing. There is healing. It's good to see Eric Woodard here. God bless you, buddy. He was involved in that car wreck. Wasn't sure if he'd walk again. Right there, he's sitting right here in the service. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, with Jesus, there is healing. Secondly, with Jesus, there is love. We see this in verse number 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. You know what that word compassion means? It means he loves them. See, it's beautiful to see the lovely Lord Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, with these people coming to him, bringing those in need, and after he healed them of their diseases. He calls his disciples unto him and said, I want you to know something. I love these people. I have compassion on this multitude. They had come to him for his healing touch. And he looked at this crowd with so many problems. There were men, women, and children, the Bible tells us here, in this crowd. And he wanted his disciples to have no mistake about it, that with him, there is love. The world is looking for somebody to truly love them. Did you know that? There are teenagers today, especially young ladies, unmarried ladies, whatever the case may be, and even some married ladies, who feel like they don't have somebody that really loves them. And they'll throw themselves at anything and anybody that just kind of looks their way and says, I love you. And they'll give everything over to somebody like that. I'll say something to you. In the world and with the world and with the world's entertainment and everything else, you're not going to find love there, friends. But with Jesus, you find true love. I'm telling you that maybe there's somebody listening to this message right now and you need to hear that somebody somewhere loves you. You know, the devil is a master trying to make you think nobody cares. He's a master trying to make you think that nobody understands, nobody cares. Even God himself has turned a deaf ear to you. Are you listening to me? If the world turns its back on you, which it will, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. Aren't you glad God loves you today? I know this is simple, it's practical, but I'm telling you, let this thought grip you that you don't have to look any further for somebody to love you. The one who made you and the one who created the universe, God loves you today. I'm telling you, I'm glad God loves me. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the creator of it all. He holds everything together. The Bible says he put it together and holds it together. By him all things consist. That means it doesn't break apart. Can you imagine if God took his hand off the creation? I mean, just take one little atom. Protons, neutrons, electrons. I remember something in my school. You know what's holding those things together? God. And if he removed it, it would be complete chaos and disaster. And that God, who deserves all, that God who created all, that God loves me, and that God loves you. With Jesus there is love. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Romans 8:35 to 39 says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. While the world is looking for true love from people and with places and with things, the Word of God makes it clear that true love is found with Jesus. You've heard the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm telling you, that may be given to what I'm talking about, people may associate that with a children's song. But that's my song too, friends. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. With Jesus there is healing. With Jesus, there is love. And then with Jesus, there is satisfaction. We see this in verses 32 and following of our text. Notice the Bible tells us that after he fed these people, look at verse number 37, and they did all eat and were filled. You know what that word filled means? It means satisfied. That's what it means. See, these verses bring out the feeding of this huge crowd. The Lord called his disciples to him and told him that he loved these people and that he would not send them away fasting. By the way, God never sends anybody away hungry. Never. Never. You come to him with a need, it's going to be met. He's not going to leave you and let you leave him dissatisfied. You always get filled when you go to Jesus. You always get satisfied when you go to Jesus. And I'm telling you that the disciples wonder. They say, how in the world are we going to get enough food to feed these people? You'd think that when he performed the miracle with the boys' lunch that it kind of clicked a little bit. But they said, where in the world are we going to get food for these people? The Lord asked how many loaves they had. They said, we've got 7 loaves and a few little fishes. He commanded the multitude to sit on the ground. He took the loaves and these fish. He gave thanks. He broke it in his hand, and he said, boys, come get it. And they came to get it and came to get it and came to get it and came to get it. There were thousands at this feeding, like there were thousands at the gathering with the little boy's lunch. Matthew 16, 9 and 10, you're close to it there. The Lord clearly differentiates these two feedings. In other words, there's some people try to say, so that's a discrepancy right there in the Bible. See, one says it's 4,000, another says it's 5,000, one said it's 5 loaves, he says it's 7 loaves. You listening to me? It was 2 separate feedings. Hallelujah, friends. The Word of God clearly teaches that. And we see here that the Word of God says that all these people ate and they were filled. That means they were satisfied. Here's what I'm saying. With Jesus, their hunger had been met. Their void had been filled. With Jesus, they found satisfaction. And I'm telling you this morning that in the same way, any true child of God knows that with Jesus, they have been satisfied. I'm telling you this morning that all of humanity has a void in their bosom that they are trying to fill with so many things. They think money can fill it. They think, sex can fill it. They think education can fill it. They think promotion can fill it. They think social status can fill it. They think entertainment can fill it. But the Word of God plainly teaches that only with Jesus is true satisfaction. Our life is made like a vacuum. And may I just illustrate it like this? Our life is like a circle that so many people are trying to stick an oversized square inside that circle. And it just doesn't fit. And even if you could get it in there, it causes pain. And there's still some sections that's not filled up. It's not satisfied. And all I'm saying to you is that it's time we understand. We don't have to look at what the world looks at to get satisfied. You don't find satisfaction with money and clothes and all these things. You find satisfaction with Jesus Christ. That's where you get satisfied. His name is Tom Brady. When we had our youth rally here last weekend, the preacher that we had, Brother David McCoy, brought this story up, and it kind of shocked me, to be honest with you. So I went on a search to verify it. I wanted to verify before I gave something. Not that I didn't believe him, but I just wanted to see it myself, you see. So I went on a search and I found it. Tom Brady is the quarterback for the New England Patriots. A while ago, he was interviewed, and I think it was by 60 Minutes. I can't remember who did the interview, but I think it was 60 Minutes. He's one who has millions of dollars. He's one who's one of the all-time greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. He's won 3 Super Bowls. By the way, if you're a New England Patriots fan, don't tune me out here, friends. Okay, please. I'm just trying to show you something. However, during this particular interview, he said, and I quote, I watched this interview and I typed it down. I went back and made sure I got that word right, that word right, that word right. And here's what he said. He said, I am making more money now than I ever thought I could ever make playing football. Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, I'm quoting all this, hey man, this is what it is. I've reached my goal, my dream, my life is. Me, I think, it's got to be more than this. And when I ask what the answer is, what is the more? He responded by saying, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. He said, I love playing football and I love being the quarterback for this team, but at the same time, I think there's a lot of other parts about me that I'm trying to find. I went on a site and read how some people were quoting things. One person said, well, maybe he's just not part of the elect. Gag me with a fork, friends. We are not Calvinist. We're not close to it. I don't want the teaching anywhere close here. But all that being said, let me say this. I know what he's searching for. And if you're saved, you do too. Here's a man who has everything the world has to offer. Everything the world has to offer. The preacher who shared this story from here, and I verified it. I haven't verified this, but I trust this man, obviously, or he wouldn't have been preaching here. He said he has so much money that he's hired somebody to count it. Preacher said, if that was me, I'd say one for you, one for me, one for you, one for me. He's won 3 Super Bowls. He's been the MVP. Girls all over the world just fall down and worship this man. And he looks the camera in a national interview and says, it's got to be more than this. You know what my answer is? It is more than this. It's being with Jesus. Aren't you glad if you're saved? Aren't you glad you're with Jesus? And Jesus is with you. You say, Jody, what do you think? What do you think about Tom Brady? Here's what I think. God loves him as much as he loves me. And if God will open the door, it'll take a miracle. It'll take a miracle. But if God will open the door, we'll reach him with the gospel. That doesn't mean he's going to say yes to it. But don't you think God's big enough that if he's still lost? I hope he's been saved since then. I don't know, okay? I hope he has. If he has, glory. But if he hasn't, why not we at Buffalo Ridge take that burden and say, you know, there's a man lame. He's blind. He needs to get to Jesus. I don't know. Let's try to reach him. Amen or not, friends? You say, that's impossible. Not with God. All I'm saying to you, we see that with Jesus, there's satisfaction. There's another man in the Bible that had everything the world had to offer him. And he put it this way, his name was Solomon. He had 1,000 women. 1,000. Was it 300 wives and 700 concubines, or was it flipped? Whatever it was, there's a little boy, there was a child one time that said it was so many wives and so many porcupines. But anyway, he had everything. In my opinion, he had more than Tom Brady has. He had it all. Here's what he said. Listen to this. I made me great works. I builded me houses. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. And also my wisdom remained with me. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. You know what that means? That means if he looked at it, he wanted it, he got it. That's what it means.
And he says right here, I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. He's saying this, if my heart wanted it, I got it. If I looked at it, I wanted it, I got it. I did it. I have everything this world has to offer. Then he said, then I looked on all the work that my hands had wrought and on all the labor that I'd labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. You know what that word vanity means? It means emptiness. He said, if I wanted it, I got it. If I wanted to do it, I did it. I have everything this world has to offer. But then I started looking at it. I started looking at my life, and I came up with this conclusion. It is all emptiness. Until finally he comes down to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. And he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. I'm simply telling you that the things of this world cannot satisfy you. They can temporarily take your mind off things. They can temporarily blind you to where you think that what this preacher just said is a lie. But I'm telling you, come to see me in 6 months, in 6 years, in 16 years, if you're giving your life to anybody or anything else other than Jesus, and look me in the face and say, it really did satisfy me. God has made life that it can only be satisfied with Jesus. It can only be full with the Lord. Don't fall prey to deception. You cannot fill your life with somebody or something other than God and think that you're going to be satisfied from here until the Lord comes home. It doesn't work that way, friends. It doesn't work that way. So may we see that with Jesus, there is satisfaction. People scattered around the world and even in this room, there are some who need healing. There are others who need love. And there are others who need satisfaction. And I'm telling you that this text shows us that all three of these can only be found with Jesus. If you have him, you have all you need. If you don't have him, you need him today. Don't put him off any longer, friend. Trust him as your Savior. And if you have him, let us be busy bringing others to be with Jesus. This is the message of Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 to 39. With Jesus there is healing. With Jesus there is love. And with Jesus there is satisfaction. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us to understand this, to see this. But Lord, more than that, help us to believe it. To realize that when we are found in a situation that's beyond any human help, that the answer is not in man, the answer is found with Jesus. Help us, Lord God, when somebody needs to know that they love, that they're loved. Help them to stop looking elsewhere and see that true love is with Jesus. And help those who are trying to satisfy themselves with the things of this world or the people of this world or the places of this world. Help them to see that true satisfaction only is found with Jesus. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. With Jesus, there is healing, there is love, and there is satisfaction. And I ask you this morning, are you with him? Are you his child? Are you a born-again child of God? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Friends, I'm not talking about this church. I'm not talking about joining this church. I'm not talking about coming and trying to be the best you can. I'm not talking about getting wet in the baptistry. What I'm talking about, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Have you today say, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm a Christian. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Just be honest. That's all I'm asking you to be. Just be honest. If you know Jesus
God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. If you didn't raise your hand to that, thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. Is there one today say, Jody, I could not raise my hand to that question saying, I know I'm saved, but in my heart, I want to be able to raise my hand to that. I couldn't raise it. Thank you for honesty. But if in your heart right now you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. If you're here today and say, Jody, I don't have that assurance, but I want it. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. I want to be saved. I want to trust Christ. Is there one like that? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? You say, pray for me. I'd like to know that I'm with Jesus. I'd like to know that I'm saved, that I'm born again, that I know the Lord. Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Let me ask you this question. Are you searching? Are you searching for healing, maybe in a situation that's going on in your life? Oh, you're saved, but there's something beyond human help going on, and you realize that it's only found with Jesus. The healing is only with Him. If that's you, why don't you come, let us take a Bible in just a moment and help you. Or just come and talk to God about it. Maybe there's somebody here say, you know, nobody loves me. That's not true. That's a lie. God loves you. God loves you. Or maybe there's somebody trying the things of the world, and maybe even right now they seem to be satisfying you, and you might even be turning a deaf ear to what this preacher's saying. But I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit of God will not let you get away from this. That when you finally get to the point where you see, you know, that preacher was right. There's emptiness in this. May God help you with this. We don't need to go anywhere else. Just go to Jesus. Be with Jesus. Right there you find healing. You find love. You find satisfaction. Or maybe today God's speaking to you about bringing others to Him. Just like in this story, how these sick folks were brought with the well folks. And may I say to you that we who have been made spiritually well, we who are born again, we who are saved, there are those who are lost who need to be brought to the Savior. And may God help us to see our responsibility of this. I don't know how God's dealing with you. Whatever it is, you come. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take the thought, use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and would you come now? Some, if we've met and all of this and you're coming to join the church, now's the time for you. If you need to be saved, if you want to bring a problem to the Lord, if you want to ask God to help you be more effective in bringing others to Him who need Him, whatever it is, Brother Gary sings, you leave your place now. Would you do that?
Jesus is tenderly come now. Calling thee home. Calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tender. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, bring Him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed, He will not turn thee away.
Playing through there. We're dealing with folks here. If you're a Christian and you're not praying there at your seat, I want you to be thinking about these who are at the altar, that we'll help them and be a blessing to them. Amen. God bless you, sir. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. We're here to help you as you can.
All right, you can look this way. We have some folks today who are coming to join the church. And anytime somebody comes to join the church and we accept them here, that means I've sat down with them, I've spoken with them, I've talked to them about their salvation, talked to them about their baptism, make sure everything's in order there. And that's the case with these precious people today. This is Mr. and Mrs. David Moore. If you folks wouldn't mind to stand there, Miss Charlotte can stand with you. And I had a great meeting with them. Both of them are saved, know the Lord. They've been scripturally baptized. And they desire to become members of this church by letter from the Temple Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee. I think that that's a church that we, you know, respect and all that. That's where Dr. Clarence Sexton is. And they've moved into the area. They've been coming here for quite a while. The Lord's laid on their heart that He wants them to come here. And that's a great thing. God bless you. And then right over here is Brother Brad Griffin. And he has come to meet with me. And he's a born-again child of God. He's been scripturally baptized. I've had the privilege of meeting with him as well. And he desires membership in this church by letter from Mount Pisgah Baptist Church. Pastor Garvin Walls, another solid church there. He's moved into our area. And so these are folks here who are coming to join our church by letter from churches of like faith. They've all been saved and baptized. What's the pleasure of the church that we receive all of them by their letter? If I could get the pleasure of the church in that. Brother Earl, Brother Levi, second. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. God bless you. I'm going to ask you all to stay right here, okay? We'll have our folks. Hope many of you will come up and shake their hands. It sounded like we had some showers of blessing while I was preaching there. So take advantage, if it's still raining, of the drive under out here. That'll be good. We've paid for it, so take advantage of it, all right? That'll be good. Let's pray together. Be back in your place tonight, please, 6:30. Father, we love you. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, many of you, come up here and shake their hands. Let them know that we're glad to have them, okay? Okay.